A few days ago, the people at All Things Considered read a letter from an angry listener somewhere in the United States. He criticized the National Public Radio program for using a certain word in a certain way in one of its broadcasts. That phrase will not be repeated here, and not just because we're in a pledge drive. No, it's because, one, some tender ears might be listening, and two, there's a law on the books entitled Broadcasting Obscene Language, and I quote, "Whoever utters any obscene, indecent, or profane language by means of radio communication shall be fined or imprisoned not more than 2 years or both." Now, if that doesn't put a chill up a broadcaster's spine, I don't know what will, even though there's another statute on the books promising that no regulation will interfere with freedom of speech on the radio. Sure, there have been challenges to the statute, one questioning whether it's constitutional, for example. Under the Constitution, statutes must be clear. And what does the word profane mean anyway? Isn't it a little overbroad and confusing, leaving broadcasters wondering and worrying about their every word? Well, no, said that particular court. Profanity is language that is grossly offensive to members of the public. We know it when we hear it, and that broadcaster, one who broadcast plain filth in the eyes of the court, spent 60 days behind bars. There are other cases, too, putting particular words and particular phrases to the test. Again, those words will not be uttered here. As you'd probably imagine, there are a fair number of cases where many would find the language at issue a perfect fit with the language of the statute. There's a case involving George Carlin, for example, and his monologue containing certain words, words he said repeatedly. Some poor, unsuspecting fellow driving with his young son in the car one afternoon heard the monologue when a radio station chose to broadcast it in the 70s. The case reached the Supreme Court. The opinion is splintered, but one line stands out. There are few, if any, thoughts that cannot be expressed by the use of less offensive language. Just tell that, though, to the producers of a different All Things Considered a few years back. They had a dilemma. Should they air a tape of John Gotti, on trial at the time, saying a certain highly offensive word repeatedly in a wiretap telephone conversation? Or would, as the Supreme Court justices hinted, simple bleeps or even paraphrasing suffice? The producers chose to use the tapes without the bleeps, and someone complained to the FCC, citing the Broadcasting Obscene Language statute. But the FCC sided with the broadcasters. The tape, although containing that certain word 10 times, modifying nearly every noun and even a verb, was newsworthy. Besides, the FCC noted, it hated to second-guess editorial decisions. A federal appellate court found that the complaining listener had no real case, standing in legal terms, and therefore couldn't question in federal court the FCC decision. So where does this leave the letter writer from a few days ago? His complaint really didn't involve obscenity in the classic sense. Instead, he complained that someone on All Things Considered used God's name in vain. Profane? Maybe. That's one dictionary definition, and a court back in 1931 found that, yes, such an expression fit a similar statute. And it's possible a court would not accept the times they are a changing argument, that our society is more accepting of such language now. The defendant in that case tried it too, and lost. Same with the radio station in the George Carlin case. It called Carlin's monologue a satire, poking fun at our old-fashioned attitudes about certain words. That did not impress the FCC. George Carlin, meanwhile, took the advice of the Supreme Court justices in the case and used less offensive language in his controversial monologue. No bleeps or paraphrasing for him, however. He appeared on The Tonight Show and said each word at issue, backward. I'm Amy Guida.